quite a few years ago, I don't know, remember exactly how many, but when I was in Pratt, we had sisters working there, religious women, from India. They taught in the school. And so from time to time, we would have people from India come by to visit. And when those visitors were male, they usually ended up staying with me in the rectory. One time we had a priest there, and he was telling me how at times he had baptized up to 3,000 adults in one day. And I was kind of stunned at that, and I said to him, "How did you go about preparing them all for baptism?" And he said, "We don't." He said, "In northern India, to get baptized is to put your life at risk. You could be killed." And he said, "We know when somebody requests baptism, they're ready. They're ready to risk their lives." That's a little bit of an extreme example. Yet it was not uncommon in the early centuries of our church that people who requested baptism did so at the very possibility that they would lose their lives. And it meant that if they were going to choose to be baptized, their faith in Christ had to be so deep and so real that they believed that the eternal life Christ could give them was far more valuable than life here on this earth. I was wondering, as I reflected on the reading from John today, if maybe part of the purpose of writing that story wasn't to prepare people for the rejection that they would receive if they became believers in Christ. You will notice in the story that when he is first asked whether who this Jesus was, those things seem too loud to me. When first asked who this Jesus was, he said, who healed you, he said, "That man named Jesus." Then a little later, when they asked him again, he had a different answer. He said, "He is a prophet." And then much later, when Jesus approaches him and asks, "Do you believe?" He said, "Yes, I believe." And he fell down and worshiped. Now notice what happened there. The healing was very quick, the physical healing. His sight returned very rapidly. But then it was more slow progress on the spiritual healing. He moved from just saying it was Jesus to he was a prophet to falling down and worshiping. But also, as he did that, the resistance of the Pharisees, of the religious leaders, became stronger and stronger. And to the end, he's thrown out of the synagogue. I wonder if John wasn't really trying to prepare Christians of his own time and of all times that belief in Jesus is always going to demand a price. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we really don't want to pay that price. You know, we all want to get to heaven. That's not an issue. We don't want to go the other way. But sometimes we want to find a way to do that that costs the least. And so we try to live our Christian faith sometimes in a way that it doesn't cost too much. And yet, it cost Jesus his life. We see in that story of the gospel, it cost that man the rejection of his contemporaries. We know in our history it has cost countless people's martyrdom because they embraced faith in Christ. The story today, I think, leads you and I to ask ourselves, how deeply committed am I to Christ? Have I made a deep personal commitment to Him? Have I come to value that relationship more than I value anything else? Because it is the only relationship that can save me. Now, Jesus doesn't ask us for a half-hearted commitment. He asks us to commit ourselves totally to Him. And that commitment has to be a commitment of trust. Trusting that He will raise us up to the fullness of life. And once we're deeply committed to Him, it means that somehow everything else in our lives sort of wraps around that commitment. But that commitment becomes the center, the focal point of our existence. Again, we'd like it to be the other way. But there's no evidence in the Scriptures that Jesus meant it to be the other way. He says, unless you take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciples. He gives us the witness of his own life. He gives us the witness of people like Peter and Paul. Think about it. Of the 12 apostles, 11 died martyrs' death. He wants commitment, full commitment out of us. We're going to baptize people here in a few weeks. And that's the commitment we are asking of them. But it's also the commitment that we, who are already baptized, are asked to make. There's a line in the book of Revelation that is worth pondering. The Spirit is speaking to one of the churches. I don't remember which one. And it says, because you are neither hot nor cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you from my mouth. Jesus has no room for us if we are not hot in our commitment to Him. If we are just lukewarm, we are not committed at all. And this is the commitment He is asking of us. Lent calls us to renew that commitment. Lent calls us to relook at our relationship with Christ Jesus. Is He the center of our lives? Do we put all of our faith, all of our trust, all of our confidence in Him? Do we believe from the depths of our being that He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life?